turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke again, and we just read the Christmas story. We're going to look at chapter 1, page 855, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Karen's going to read it for us this morning. Quick question, is someone prepared to do children's church this morning? Okay, children, you're dismissed at this time right now, please. Follow to the back and Sandy will take you to your classroom. Thank you. They're moving out. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning for our morning prayer time. Would you join me, please? God, we just sung about how holy you are and what a holy night that was when the Lord Jesus, the Holy One of God, came into this world. And we're mindful, Father, that that was an ecstatic, miraculous, beyond our comprehension event. But God, we're so mindful also that it was for us, that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, and we all need saving, Lord. And we're so mindful that you, the Father, sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. We're mindful, God, that you had a strategy and a plan for all of humanity that would draw them to yourself, that a love affair with you would be established, and that there would be a union and reunion unlike no other relationship in the entire universe, humanity with a holy God. Father, we're also mindful that you care so deeply for us, that Jesus came not only as a babe in a manger, but he came as a Savior, and he came as one of us so that we could have full identity with you, O God, and you with us. That we can know that he was subjected to every temptation we are, yet was without sin. And God, we sin. We fully acknowledge that. And we fall short of your glory time after time, sometimes moment after moment. And we humbly plead, Lord, forgive us. Be merciful to us, O God. We're unworthy to be forgiven, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ can we proclaim righteousness in your sight. And we thank you for that privilege. So God, be merciful to us as sinners. And when we fall short, God, would you renew us by the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us to stand again and walk uprightly, faithfully with you, O Heavenly One. God, thank you for being a God who lives in us and who perseveres with us. And thank you that when we're weak, you're strong. And in these days, we're all weak, Lord. The world events are unfolding all around us. Lives are being taken. Father, people are leaving us that we love and care about. And God, we can only cry out, God, deliver us. Deliver us. Be merciful to us. Comfort us in our grief and our mourning and our loss. Lord, comfort the Bogan family, Marcia and Jean and his sister and their Jean's sisters, Father. Comfort them, God, as they mourn Bob's passing this last week. God, strengthen and encourage them in these days, Lord, as they make decisions and they try to regain a sense of balance in a life that's been turned upside down on them so suddenly. Father, comfort the families who've lost loved ones on Christmas Day. Comfort those families who are saying, why, God? Why have our loved ones gone from us? Lord, show them who you are in all of this. Reveal your merciful self to them. Reveal that you're the God of great comfort and compassion in times of trial and tribulation, that you're a refuge and a strength and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Reveal yourself to all of us, God, we would pray. Father, to our nations. Our world is in turmoil. But God, we pray for the leaders of our nations that they will humble themselves and hear from heaven and turn from sin and lead the countries and the nations of this world in righteousness and truth. Father, we pray for a restoration of peace to this world that's in severe crisis. We pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem, that, God, there would be peace in Israel, in the Middle East, God. Father, we pray for the armed forces who are around the world protecting us from all nations, many nations, God. We pray for their protection, your sustaining grace in their lives, Lord. Father, you've called us to be faithful to the Great Commission, to go forth and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be faithful to that call. Help us not to grow weary, but God, to be constantly, constantly mindful that you have called us for a holy purpose, that all may hear the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God, use us in these days to do that. Strengthen us as this church. Father, bless the ministries here. Bless the missionaries. Bless their families. God, keep them strong and faithful. Keep their marriages healthy. Keep their children loving you and loving their parents and the parents loving the children. And Father, sustain them by grace and strength and mercy as only you can. God, send forth the word through them and strengthen our hands as we send forth the word, Lord, with them. God, strengthen the missions work of this congregation, Lord, as we continually strive to reach the people of Mexico and the people of Canada and the people of the United States and the other countries that are present here with us in San Carlos and the area, Father. God, touch San Carlos, we pray, with a bold witness for Jesus Christ. And Lord, would you firm up our understanding of you all along the way, even this morning as we talk about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. Father, would you cement our faith in the foundation of Jesus Christ to serve you willingly and wholeheartedly without reservation. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, God entered this world as a human being. 2,000 years ago, you might say it like this: deity put on the robe of humanity. The heavenly son became the earthly baby born on a night with a majestic star that told certain people of his divine arrival. That event was so cataclysmic that it became the marker for all of the world and it literally established how we measure time. B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini. Everybody thinks it's A.D. after death. It's not. It's Latin, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And this was the moment when the Son of God, the Savior, was born. This was 2,000 years ago, what we would call today redemptive history, when God came to redeem his people from their sin. He came to redeem you as he came to redeem me. The great thing about the writings of Luke, as Karen just read it to us a few moments ago, and is that the author of this gospel is his attention to detail. And Luke not only tells us about the virgin birth, but he gives us the clear picture of the virgin conception of the Savior as well, which leads to the virgin birth, which is the foundation of the gospel. Look at this for a moment. A real incarnation of God in the flesh demands a virgin conception. I'll say it again. A real incarnation of God in the flesh demands a virgin conception. This is foundational to our Christian faith. If Jesus had a human mother, and if he had a human father, then Jesus is man and he's not God. If he was a man and not God, then logically it just means that Jesus then is not the Savior of the world. He's simply another human being who can't save and rescue anyone. And if that's true, then there's no good news for anybody in this world, because there is no Savior. So I want us to explore this morning the divine, miraculous, virgin conception. And the first thing that we see from this text is that the virgin conception was announced by a divine messenger. Look at verse 26 with me again, page 855, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." So here we have it. We have an angel sent from the presence of God, it says here in this text. And he comes to a particular teenage girl named Mary, who's engaged, betrothed to a man named Joseph. And she's God's divine choice. God sends a messenger, and he sends a messenger to his choice. And the greeting that the angel gives her is like this divine blessing. Verse 28, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And verse 30, "You, Mary, have found favor in the eyes, or you have found favor with God." I don't know about you, but I was thinking about that this week, and I'm thinking, man, I'd love to have God say that to me. Rich, put your name in there. "You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you." You know what? I was thinking about that this morning. I found it. I've got it. When you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you found all the favor you need with God. And you found all the favor that you could possibly ever want with God. And when you became, if you have become, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted in him for your salvation, you've got the favor of God in your life. And then here comes this message to Mary of a divine child. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It doesn't get to be anything better than a divine blessing than that. Mary had it all. God sent her a messenger because she was God's choice, and God gave her the message of a divine child with a divine blessing wrapped all over her. So we have a divine messenger who comes and comes to a divine choice, Mary. And Mary gives a divine blessing about a divine child, the Son of God. And here's this teenage girl, Mary, who's heard this immense, immense, incomprehensible announcement from an angel of God. And it was more news than she could possibly comprehend. I mean, verse 29 tells us, she was greatly troubled at the saying. And apparently she had a great amount of fear because the angel tells her in verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I would just imagine that she was shaken to the core of her being. Wouldn't you be? Suddenly an angel shows up in your presence and begins telling you these incomprehensible things. This astonishing divine truth that's been given her. Mary, you're going to bear the Son of God. And her mouth must have been hanging open. And Mary asks the question, logical question, you and I would ask it, how? How could this be? And it's important to understand something about this time in the period of history. This is a very unique time in history. It's in the life of Israel and in the life of redemptive history. These were the silent years. Understand, in this point in history, there had been 400 years of silence from heaven. God had uttered no new revelation since the days back of the prophets of old. It was silence. It was like God took the doors and went shut 400 years before this. And no miracles were happening. Nothing was occurring. People were just living and breathing and dying. It was silence from God Almighty. And many of the commentators believe that this time there were no miracles happening whatsoever. The last time anyone had seen a miracle, had seen an angel, was way back in the days of Elijah. And the miracles in the time of Elisha. Miracles weren't normal in these days when Mary was suddenly presented with this angel Gabriel. Centuries had elapsed when God hadn't revealed a word to anybody. And you know what? As I studied this week, I discovered that wasn't necessarily new. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 records that in another time before this in the history of Israel, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision from God. But all of a sudden it happens. Heaven opens its doors. God opens the doors of heaven, and the angel Gabriel appears, and God speaks through this angel to Mary, and Mary believes. She believes. She just couldn't understand how. Gabriel, how is this going to be that I'm going to bear the Son of God? How? You know, when it comes to putting our total trust and faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, don't we ask the same question? How? How is this going to be that a Savior that I cannot see, that supposedly hung on a cross almost 2,000 years ago, who was buried in the ground and rose again from the dead, how is he going to save me? How is he going to rescue me from this dominion of hell that we're living in for some of us on this earth? How? How's that going to happen? How can this be? The filthy varmint that I am, who sins and sins and sins again and never stops sinning. How? How is this Jesus guy going to rescue me from my trials and tribulations and despair? You need to understand something. We have something better than an angel Gabriel appearing to us. We have something better. The Bible says that we have the Word of God written down for us. Why? In order to help us understand and believe and accept the truth that Jesus Christ indeed is the answer for everything we need in this life and the next. He indeed, the Bible says, is the Savior. And we're called to study it and believe it. Jesus said the exact same thing as he was getting ready to leave this earth and after the resurrection and go to heaven. He says in Luke 24 these words, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." Luke 24, 44 and following. Folks, this is the message that we proclaim in our vision of Touch San Carlos. That every man, woman, and child within the greater distance of us here will hear, have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. This is what we proclaimed last Wednesday night at the Cantata to the community. This is what we proclaimed at Jesse and Jenny's yesterday as we fed 500 Mexican, wonderful, lovely Mexican folks that we love so much, and we preached the message of Jesus Christ to them. We preach Jesus Christ is the Savior. Why? Because he had a miraculous conception from heaven and he had a miraculous birth ordained. It was the strategy of God from heaven. And I want you to know, I am so proud of you, this church, every one of you. I'm so proud of the way that you invest yourselves in touching San Carlos with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of you of the way you went out and invited people to come Wednesday night. I'm so proud of you of the way that you served behind the scenes in getting the goodies and the food prepared and setting it up and taking it down and cleaning up the trash. And I'm so proud of you for your faithful service. I'm so proud of you, choir, for getting out of your norm and standing in front of people and singing about the glorious Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of you for those of you who went to Jenny and Jesse's yesterday and set aside your Christmas celebration and went there and served the Lord by serving those people. I thank God for you. But I challenge you, because the gospel's being proclaimed on various venues, I challenge you to have the one-on-one conversations with people that you've invited. And I challenge you to ask them, what did you think about that message Wednesday night? Believing when the impossible can become possible for you. How do you comprehend that in your life? I challenge you to sit down with those folks that you know are here, that don't normally attend, and ask them about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to be witnesses. Because the Word of God is written down for us so that you and I can grow in faith and knowledge and truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim that witness to those around us. Ask them. Challenge them. Call them to Jesus Christ. Don't let another day go by. This last week on Thursday, it was never more evident that the time is short. You see, last Wednesday night at our cantata, a man by the name of Bob Bogan was here. And really the only reason Bob Bogan ever comes is because his son Gene was singing in the cantata that night, and he wanted to come and support him. But usually Bob never goes to church. He'd rather play golf. That's okay. That's his life. And that's his choice. But by Thursday, 2 o'clock, he was gone. He had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. He'd perished. We don't know where Bob stood with the Lord. We know he's heard the gospel. He heard it last Wednesday night. We can only trust in God's grace in times like this and say, God, your mind is higher. Your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we just trust you, sovereign God, because you're in control of all of it. But what a grief for his family, possibly, that they don't know for certain if they're going to see Bob in heaven or not. Will I see you there, friend? I mean, for certain? Will I see you there? I'm going. I'm out of here. I don't have any doubt about Jesus Christ. No doubt whatsoever. Kill me if you want, but I'm going to die on Jesus Christ as my Savior. But will I see you there? Do you have that assurance without a shadow of a doubt? Ask these people. Challenge these people. Call them to Jesus Christ. Why? Because a person's believing and accepting the virgin conception and the virgin birth is the precipice to opening the door to eternal salvation. And I chose that word very, very carefully. You know what a precipice is? It's that leaning, that shelf of a rock that's out over the cliff. And when you look down over it, you don't see anything below. But when you walk out on that precipice, you're walking out in Jesus, accepting, first of all, the virgin conception, and second of all, accepting the virgin birth without a shadow of a doubt. And from there, it's an easy step off into eternity through the salvation of the crucified Christ and the risen Savior. A person's believing and accepting, I don't know where you're at, but have you accepted the virgin conception and the virgin birth without reservation? No waffling. We must understand that on that night, when Jesus was born, God had a divine strategy. Verse 35 tells us how Mary's wonderings would be answered. It says there, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will become holy, the Son of God. The angel very graciously answers her question, how? With a very simple, very straightforward explanation. Mary, it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And in another statement, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. You see, God had a divine strategy to make this happen. We're talking about the work of God here. The Holy Spirit is the Most High God, Gabriel says to her. In the Hebrew, the Most High God is called El Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N, El Elyon, God Most High. It's a name that's used for God more than 36 times in the Old Testament. God Most High, El Elyon. It means sovereign lordship. It means that he's the possessor of heaven and earth. That he's the creator, he's the sustainer, he's the provider for all. He's sovereign because God is creator, and he's sovereign because he created all of this, including you and I, out of nothing. Remember in Genesis, bohu and tohu. He created it out of nothingness. Mary, God Most High, in the Holy Spirit, is going to overshadow you. He's going to surround you. He's going to encompass you. He's going to influence what goes on in your body, in your womb. Your womb, Mary, will be encompassed by the creating influence of God through divine supernatural movement, because He's God Most High and He can do this. Mary, God is sovereign. He's the Most High God. And you're going to carry and give birth to the Holy Son of God. Why? Because He's God Most High. Mary, you're going to call Him Jesus, because He's going to be eternal and He's going to live and rule on the throne forever and ever. And Mary, I just want to remind you of something very, very important. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary, just so you can really get your heart and your mind around this, I have some news for you. You remember Elizabeth, your relative? You remember how she's never been able to have children? Mary, do you remember how she was mocked and ridiculed because of her barrenness, and she was shunned by the other women all these years because of that barrenness? Mary, you know she's well into her old age by now. Well, Mary, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. You know, I just think it's so interesting here that God would use another human being to be the sign to confirm to Mary that this really was a sovereign act of God Most High. That God would choose another human being, a fallible human being, a sinful human being, that God would choose another human being to become the sign for Mary that what she's been told by the angel Gabriel would come true. Elizabeth is Mary's visual picture of God's Most High sovereign work in her own womb. You know, it doesn't take a very big leap to go from that to our own salvation. You see, we're called as followers of Christ to be living witnesses of Christ. Amen? And our lives are to testify constantly of the salvation work of Jesus Christ that's been done in us. The work of God Most High in us. Why? So, just like Mary could look at Elizabeth and see the sign of God, unbelieving people can look at us and see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Think about this. Unbelievers should be able to see the fruit of what the Holy Spirit, God Most High, has done in you and in me by saving our souls and giving us new life in Jesus Christ. We're the sign to the unbelieving world that Jesus indeed was born of a virgin, came through a virgin conception, went to the cross, rose from the dead, and is in eternity with the Father right now. They should be able to see that God Most High has done this in our lives. We should be exemplifying to the world around us through our lives that nothing is impossible with God. I kind of feel like I should stop and have testimony time right now. To hear what God, the God who is the God of possibilities, has wrought in your life and what he's done for you. You see, Elizabeth was a sign of a miracle to Mary, a miracle of conception. We should be a sign to others of the miracle of salvation life through our trusting, obedient faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus told the disciples as he was about to leave in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the outer regions of the world to the ends of the earth." You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God's strategy, his strategy is to use you as a sign to others that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior, the only Savior, the one and only Savior of the world. He's got a strategy for your life. He's got a strategy for mine. Jesus became the Son of Man so that you and I might become the sons and daughters of God. We're saved because of the grace of Christmas. We're God's strategy to lead others to himself. I want to close this morning in Revelation, of all places. Revelation chapter 21. It's the last book in the Bible. Because God's strategy goes so far and beyond this life. And I want you to comprehend this morning at Christmas time. Not only has God done a great work in your life if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, but he has a great plan for what you're going to inherit. Listen to the words of Revelation 21:1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" There you go. Did you get that? The dwelling place of God is with man. It's with you who have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these things are trustworthy and true.'" You can step out on the precipice and you can step off because it's trustworthy and it's true. Verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son.'" Doesn't get any better than that. God doesn't make it any plainer than that, that you have an internal inheritance through Jesus Christ that's beyond measure, beyond compare, beyond this life, beyond suffering, beyond pain, beyond mourning, beyond death. It's all glory. It's all glory. It's all glory. But he doesn't leave the message there, because he's the God Most High. And he says in verse 8, "But as for the cowardly," those who aren't willing to believe in Jesus Christ, "for the faithless," those who refuse to trust him, "for the detestables and the murderers and the sexually immoral and the sorcerers who find their religion in witchcraft and idolaters who run after the things of this world instead of after God and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur. which is the second death. Seems to me we have a choice to make. Believe on the virgin conception. Believe on the virgin birth. Believe on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one true Savior without end. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. God, you didn't hold anything back from us in those pictures. I mean, really, Lord. You told us exactly what happened in the past 2,000 years ago and what's going to happen in the future. And Lord, there's no waffling with you. We waffle. We step back instead of stepping forward at times. Forgive us for that. We hesitate and keep the gospel to ourselves rather than to speak it to someone else. Forgive us for that. When there's this whole eternity that invites us, just invites us into this blessed, blissful presence of you, the living God, Most High. And God, some of us just won't even walk out on the precipice. We just can't take hold of the fact that there was a virgin conception and a virgin birth, much less a Savior who died for me personally. And Father, I pray for that individual who's here right now this morning, that your Holy Spirit would speak truth into their heart. And that you would open their eyes to hear what the Spirit is saying to them. And God, in your perfect and lovely and wonderful timing, bring them to yourself. We're mindful, God, of the quickness of death, physical death. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to everlasting life. You have invited us with open arms, like the father invited the prodigal son home. You've invited us into your heart and soul, into heaven and eternity. God, help us to come. Help us to come by faith. And Lord, use us. Just use us. Help us to be willing vessels in your hand, God, for noble and divine purposes, Paul wrote to Timothy, to see others come to you, Lord. Help us to speak that word of encouragement. Give us a boldness in our faith. Give us a willing heart. God, help us to have a willing heart. Help us to get out of bed in the morning and say, today, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. And I'm going to trust you implicitly with everything in my life. God, just have your way with us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you haven't given your heart to Christ, today's a great day to do that. Today's a great day to step out on the precipice and begin nudging yourself towards God and real faith in him. Today's a great day to step off into eternal life and have that blessed assurance that Jesus Christ is yours and you are his. The ushers are going to come at this time and we'll pray for the offering. Gentlemen, thank you for giving to the ministries of this congregation and to the mission work that we do so faithfully week in and week out. You give, and we can't say thank you enough for that, but we say thank you this morning to your generosity. Lord, would you bless the gifts and the givers? Would you bless the heart of passion and compassion to see the kingdom of God grow and be furthered for the sake of the gospel? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to give to you the first fruits of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh,
God, it's under that adoration that we ask you to bless us and make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us and turn your face towards us, God, that, Lord, we might walk under your blessing. Father, be glorified in us and through us as we leave here today, as we serve you this week. May the great name of Jesus Christ be exalted in all things, because we have the favor of God upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shake some hands, introduce yourself. Thanks for coming. God bless. Hi, Faith. Good to see you. I'm here.
Great.
How are you?
Okay.
Good to see you.
See you.